Short and sweet with 42nd Street Pete. And here's your host, Pete Chiarella, only on Jackalope Radio.
Well, we're not live. We had to tape this show because actually something very bad happened last weekend in Kentucky at a convention called Fandom Fest 2013. I've brought on a good friend of mine. He's been on before, Michael Exler from East Coast Horror Group and Dust Till Con Radio. Welcome back, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Pete. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, you were closer to this crap than I was because you basically had to deal with some of this nonsense when this promoter, which used to be Fright Night Film Festival, had false advertised a couple people, and you would call them out on that, and you got some pretty bad threats aimed your way, too.
Oh, yeah. This was going back 2 years ago. This was when Mad Monster Party started up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and East Coast Horror Group was relatively new at that time, and we had gotten a tip that Brad Dourif was being shown on the website for Fright Night Film Fest. I had talked to some folks in the know, and they said, you know, Brad was only doing one horror convention that year. So we decided to investigate a little bit. The promoter for Fright Night Film Fest, I tried to talk to him. I tried to talk to one of Brad's managers, and either would return any of the emails or correspondence that we tried to send. So we ended up getting a YouTube video of Brad Dourif saying that he was only going to appear at Mad Monster Party. So Drew and I wrote an article up, and we posted it with that video of Brad Dourif. That did not go over well with the people at Fright Night Film Festival. They were extremely upset about that. The placing of the blame started at the manager of Brad Dourif, and they even blamed Brad Dourif himself. So that's kind of how we kicked the door in with some of the reporting that we do. Later, the promoter for Fright Night Film Fest named me in a slander lawsuit at, I believe it was Flashback Weekend. He cornered someone that I know and said that he was going to sue him and me. And
okay, I can bring that up. I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but the guy is a guest rep. And yes, basically, I had friends at that show where this guy, this promoter, Ken Daniels, ran up in front of everybody screaming in his face like a fucking lunatic.
Yep. Yeah,
that's the story I got from three or four different people, that he completely acted like a thug. And from what I understand, the fallout from this weekend, that's all he is a thug. He seems to have like a laundry list of failed businesses, and Ken Daniels isn't even his real name.
Yeah, I was really surprised to hear that that's not, well, I guess not surprised, but that's not his real name. And I didn't know just how deep his businesses went that were not on the up and up.
Yeah, it's this is the interesting part about this whole thing. I mean, a lot of people, they had, you know, supposedly 70,000 people down there, which is, I don't fucking buy that at all. Nobody has 70,000 people. But when you run a convention and you have Gene Simmons, William Shatner, Stan Lee, and the Walking Dead people, you're drawing fans from four different genres, and then add in all the other people he had there, and you have what is basically a huge clusterfuck.
Oh, definitely.
And from all intents and purposes, from the posts of the attendees, which one lady, and you know, a woman stepped up to the plate and did this. She started a group, FanFest Louisville 2013 was a fiasco on Facebook. Right now it has over 300 members. People are really, really pissed off at the way they were treated. Vendors are really, really pissed off that they didn't make any money down there. Some did, most didn't. People that had paid for VIP packages got shorted. People that had paid to show their films down there were told when they showed up they weren't going to do that and tough shit. So it's basically, you know, it looks like this guy has a history of taking the money and running, not giving a shit. And then a couple other conventions, Horror Hound, which is, you know, just about as bad as he is as far as screwing fans over, you know, sponsors them and which is weird because I don't get this whole group of, it seems like a circle jerk of a couple cons where we're the best, fuck everybody else, and we're going to do everything in our power to screw you people over.
Yeah, it definitely does seem to be that there is a clique mentality as far as these conventions go. And another one that was involved, but I'm hearing through the grapevine, and you know, don't quote me on this, but I hear Blood on the Beach, or at the Beach, I should say, it used to be called Blood on the Beach, is now kind of being exonerated from that clique because of some of the issues that it had with its past convention.
Yeah, somebody posted something about the guy who runs it. They posted a criminal record. See, it's been amazing just to look at the Facebook posts and what's coming out, and what's even more amazing that the people that are outing these guys are women. Women fans, right, that have had it up to here with being screwed over and shit, which I applaud, right, them for that.
I do too. You know, a lot of people call some of the women fans, you know, I've heard them called soccer moms that just want to come out and see Redis. You know, whatever the reason that you're there, you're spending your money, so you have a reason to bitch when things don't go correctly. My biggest thing with Fandom Fest, and I'm seeing a lot of these posts that I guess we can go over here in a little bit, but you know, you have Horror Hound that had, you know, the big Walking Dead reunion, and that's fine. I mean, I'm a fan of The Walking Dead. I wouldn't wait in line or pay the money for their autographs, but you have the debacle that was in, what was it, Cincinnati this year, Pete?
Yeah,
in Cincinnati, the complete debacle that it was. So now you have Fandom Fest, which used to be Fright Night Film Fest, but parlayed into more of a pop culture show. You have guests that you know are going to draw even larger than Horror Hound, because like you said, Pete, you're drawing from four genres of people that are rabid fans of each particular genre. So you would think you would want to learn a little bit from what happened at Horror Hound and try to be prepared for, you know, we keep seeing numbers from 70,000 to 20,000. I'm not sure either are correct, but I'd be willing to bet the farm that there was probably a good 10,000 people there.
Yeah, 10,000 people is a lot of people.
Yeah, sure is. I mean, you got to do your homework and be prepared. And, you know, one of the biggest things from this Facebook group that we've been seeing is some of the volunteers that have stepped forward and talked, you know, about how hard they worked, but they weren't given anything. They weren't given any instructions. They didn't know what was going on. And hell, the one guy, Pete, you saw, he wasn't even given a break or food that he was promised.
No, he left. I can't blame him, because you know, I used to work for one of the, you know, quote, big conventions. Right. And I ran security there, and I made sure that my guys weren't stuck on a door for 8 hours, were fed, were relieved, got to see the show. That was part of the deal. I mean, nobody gets paid. They got a room to crash in, you know, during the night and stuff like that. And, you know, these guys are volunteers. They're not professional security.
Right.
And let me stress that. They are not professional security, because if you hire professional security, you're talking $15 to $20 an hour. And these promoters aren't going to pay that. And another amazing thing is that this promoter, Daniels, has deflected the blame on everybody and actually threw his wife under the bus rather than address it himself. I couldn't believe that either.
Yeah, they did a little spot on a local TV station there, and it was actually his wife, Myra, that was the one that gave the statement of how, you know, you have to learn with each convention, and even though some, they keep saying some, were unhappy, we made thousands of others happy.
Did you make thousands of others happy? You have to learn from every convention. You put on 9 of these fucking things. If you haven't learned from them now, go work at fucking McDonald's, because that seems to be what you're qualified for. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I'm pissed at this, because I've been doing this shit since 1990 with the Big Con. I saw the Big Con grow, and I'll say it out loud. It was Chiller Theater, and Chiller Theater was one of the best shows ever, you know, created, ever conceived. But unfortunately, it slid into the whole corporate thing of bigger is better. We're not just going to do horror. We're going to do multimedia. And they grew and grew and grew. And basically, 2003, they imploded. And that's when I left. And I had my issues with them, too. And another thing I want to bring up is, you know, we both know this name. I'm going to say a guy named O'Rear. I'll say it on my show because I don't give a shit about him. Right. But one of his, quote, army sent me a threat, and I actually have the threat here still. I kept this thing. because this will just show you the complete bullshit that's, you know, wrapped up in this convention. Pretty much his first letter was, because, you know, it was, if anybody doesn't know this whole story of Jim O'Rear, you don't want to know the whole story. He's a piece of shit. And anybody who fucking backs him up is a piece of shit, too. But this gentleman, his name is, what the hell is this guy's name? Robert Warren sent me an email that if I'm going down to Fright Night Film Festival, he'll be there and he'll take me out and he'll be the big guy wearing the Jim's Army t-shirt. He's on staff at Fright Night Film Festival. So after a few more emails, and he even said this too. This is the email I'm going to read. Hey, I'm glad to see that I'm banned, but I can still reach the East Coast horror douches. That pleases me. Relay this. Kiss my ass and suck it. I'm nowhere as nice as Jim is. Come one, come all to Fright Night Horror. Who's not chicken? Now, I had sent Mr. Daniels copies of these emails saying that I was going to go down there, but if this is, you know, what I have to worry about, that one of his staff members is basically going to assault me, I'm not going. Well, that got blown off as, oh, that doesn't matter. That's like, you know, we're a safe, secure, family-friendly show. Well, in that type of crowd, anything can happen. But this guy claims he was one of your staff members. And these are the threats, the out-and-out threats of violence that I got against me and also against the East Coast Horror Group. So,
it's funny. They couldn't even control fucking people trying to get autographs. How can they control someone like that?
Yeah, he's you know, and people have reached out to this guy, and he's an out-of-control sociopath. He's an internet sociopath, and he's dangerous. But now he's claiming, and this hasn't been denied, that he's a staff member.
Right.
So I know most of the staff members down there are volunteers, and, you know, they're good people and stuff, but there's some rabid people who get into these conventions and get on staff, and they think it's a street gang. And we're going to go kick your ass if you don't like our convention. Then they put down Horror Realm, they put down Days of the Dead, they put down Cinema Wasteland, and none of the motherfuckers have ever even been there because they can't. Right. They can't go. They have no money. That's how they get to these conventions. They become fucking volunteers. And if I'm pissing you people off, I'm sorry, but that's the way I see it. Now, like I said, a lot of you volunteers are good people. You're sincere. You're working with what was given to you when you weren't given shit. So how can you basically, you know, be effective as a staff when you're not taken aside, told what's expected of you, given breaks, given your perks, and, you know, whatever? But no, they don't do that down there. It's really, like we say, deflecting the blame on everything but what's happened, which,
you know,
sucks.
It's funny. It's ridiculous. I don't understand how, you know, when you're in charge, you know, there's two people in charge of Fandom Fest, how everybody else can be to blame but you. You know, you can't take the blame for one fucking thing. I mean, how long did you plan this? And like you said, how long have they been doing this fucking show?
Nine fucking years. If you haven't learned anything, you know, it just comes down to that. I honestly think this guy is strictly take the money and run, and the fans are douchebags and they'll come back. Well, you know, now he's offering free passes, and I'm sorry. If anybody takes a free pass instead of a refund, you're a fucking moron because it's going to be the same shit again. These people do not give a shit. Here's something. Okay, a blurb. Jay and Silent Bob special event, an evening with Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, Saturday, July 27th, 7 p.m. Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes will be screening their latest film, whatever the hell it is, and they weren't there.
No, how about this? They changed it to Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Who, you know, you paid to see these guys?
Yep. They changed. Jason, he tweeted that they did change it to Wednesday. It was not the show's fault, but what the show had fault of was not letting anybody know that it had been changed to Wednesday. So everybody on the website was still under the impression that it was happening on Saturday, and Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes were in L.A. on Saturday. It wasn't because of an emergency or anything. It was planned. And, you know, if we go back to last year, you know, we spoke a little bit about the Brad Dourif thing. We go back to last year where Bruce Campbell was one of the main guests.
Yeah.
Bruce only signs for a four-hour time period. That's it. That's part of his contract. He's been doing that for the past fucking 6 years. They were selling tickets like he was signing all fucking day. So people up to, you know, Bruce was done signing, and they're pretty much still selling tickets to get a Bruce Campbell autograph. How fucked up is that?
I know, and I heard they did it with Norman Reedus this time, too, that he said he had a block that he had to get out of there or something. And, you know, God love him, he's the type of guy, he'll stay there to the bitter end because he doesn't want to disappoint anybody. But they, yeah, they jerked him around too.
But I'll just say, I have... Go ahead. I wanted to say, I have nothing against Norman Reedus. I have heard nothing but good things about the guy. Like you said, he will stay as long as he needs to because he doesn't want to disappoint anybody. Or if you just want to be, you know, if you want to think of the realistic that he doesn't want to miss out on any money, whatever. But he doesn't want to disappoint fans, and he doesn't. It's the manager that I have an issue with. But Norman, I have no issue with Norman. I think I enjoy him on The Walking Dead, and from what fans say, he's top notch when you meet him.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's got a bad manager that's just gonna you know, whore him out until he collapses.
Kind of like Romero.
That's another thing. I think this manager, and I'll even say his name, Sean Clark, I think he's a Svengali behind the scenes. He's manipulating some of these promoters that, like, they want to be the cool kids.
Right.
And you're not the cool kids because you limited yourself to your fucking guest roster. That's what it comes down to. So,
right,
you look at Horror Hound, it's almost, you know, the same guests all the time.
Yeah, it's very much a revolving door of the same type of guests. And, you know, I think a lot of these people that want to run a convention, some of them, you know, the horror fans have been put down for so many years, you know, and we've been on the outskirts and all that kind of stuff. So it seems that when some of these folks, even in, you know, I run into it in podcasting or the media, you get a little bit of attention and you've never had any of that your entire life. It goes right to your head. And a lot of these people, unfortunately, some of the people that do what we do, podcast or run panels at conventions, think they're celebrities, and they're not.
No, you know, people, you know, said, well, you do this and you do that. I go, I do two conventions, you know, twice a year. I'm a regular at Wasteland, and I do Horror Realm, and I go in, and it's whatever the promoter wants me to do. For, you know, I pay for my table. You want me to help out, I help out. You want me to throw some films, you want me to show a panel, whatever. You know I got a name. I got it by accident, like I told everybody. I'm no big deal. But people seem to, you know, like what I do, so I keep doing it. But, you know, this whole thing, I mean, how badly do you have to fuck up to get PayPal involved, where PayPal didn't have enough money to kick out refunds?
Yeah.
From the convention center, who said they just spoke to the organizers, and they told them they were hearing concerns and complaints, and supposedly the organizers want to reach out and do all this other stuff. They don't want to reach out. And let's see. Businesses that supported, you know, that, you know, sponsored this thing when they showed up didn't have a spot. Other, you know, I guess you buy a spot on a program if they even had a program, but, you know, a lot of people have complained to the sponsors that, you know, why did you back this thing up? Now I just see a blurb that he's offering free tickets to next year's convention. Why? It's going to suck just as much as this one did.
Right.
They've got the state attorney general involved in this. I just saw some other blurb about, okay, apparently PayPal is already aware of the problem. I was just told there are a lot of complaints in big letters.
Well, yeah, and I don't know if you know this, but anything run sales-wise over the internet is federally regulated.
Yeah, I saw that blurb too. The FBI has been involved too.
Yeah, so that, I don't know. I checked that out, and that is true, that all internet sales are federally regulated. So this could be, you know, fraud. So I don't know. It could be a lot more severe than false advertising. Let's just say that.
Yeah, well, you know, supposedly, you know, they took money up front for VIP packages that they didn't deliver or they ran out of. They took money up front for photo ops, and some of these photo ops, I've seen some of the printouts, and it's like a fucking mentally handicapped 2-year-old could do a better job. Not
sad
to insult the mentally handicapped, but that's the truth.
It's sad,
and
isn't it?
From what I understand, they have a piece of the photo op company, too.
That's the thing that just came out that I heard, that they ran the photo op. They didn't go with the celebrity ones or anything like that. It was they decided to start it up.
Yeah. Somebody just posted, I contacted both PayPal and my bank. Unfortunately, it's been over the time period allowed to file any claims.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's nice.
And then there's another blurb that they weren't prepared for the crowds because of a crew of volunteers didn't show up. You know something? Step up to the plate, because obviously your wife has a bigger pair of fucking nuts than you do, because you threw her under the bus. And even when she was, you know, how bad do you have to be when you're on this thing? And, you know, well, somebody just beat me in the back. I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. I mean, how bad can it be when you just can't step up to the plate and you know, take the blame of something you fucking did?
That's right.
How about that guy John Barrowman who just, oh my god, you know?
How about he basically ripped the guy a new asshole?
Here's a guest at your con who got fucked over, and he basically went, in the middle of one of your own panels, just ripped you a new asshole. You know,
that was amazing, and I think that shows the character of Barrowman for sure. I mean, I'm not a Doctor Who fan whatsoever, but you know, he definitely looks out for fans, and he was not happy with the way things were going, and especially the celebrities being blamed for the issues. You know, what kind of type of con? You know, the reason that you're there, the celebrities. Without the celebrities, you would just be a vendor show or a flea market.
Yeah.
Why? What on earth would give you the idea to fucking blame the celebrities for anything that happens? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh yeah, that's the way to get people to come back. Get celebrities back. I mean, here's another one. You know, here's another one. Kentucky Convention and Visitors Bureau was gathering tomorrow to address complaints. I mean, this is a big deal, and it's even a bigger deal because they actually had a news blurb of this whole thing, and they showcased the whole Facebook page and scrolled down it.
Yep.
And they even showed the John Barrowman thing on local TV. How much more of an ass kicking do you need to prove that you're fucking wrong? You know, that you fucked up.
It's funny. I've never, in all my years of covering conventions and going to them, and in all this, I have never seen the amount of outrage about a show like I have with this one.
You know something? It's about time, because I'm tired of seeing the fans just sit back and take it from these scumbag promoters, like that whole Jamie Lee Curtis debacle where, you know, you shelled out $80, but that didn't even include the 8x10, that was another $10, and how Jamie loves her horror fans when she don't, and that whole fake article written in the Horror Hound magazine and what a great time she had and shit, and how she knew about the internet bullshit, but she just blew it off. She didn't know about that stuff, because if she did, she would have went after me for half of the crap I put up during that period. And I'll admit it, I was a scumbag, but I had reason to be, because I'm tired of seeing the fans get ripped off, and I'm even more tired of seeing the fans act like sheep, like these people are better than them, because they're not, okay? They're just people like you and me, and let's lay it out there, boys and girls. If we didn't go see your fucking movies, buy your tie-in merchandise, or do any of this other stuff, where would you be? Same place we are, working 9 to 5 and just hoping you get by.
That's it. That's it. You know, I think this really shows that the fan base for these conventions really can make a difference, and they need to start doing what these folks are doing. These folks that are complaining about Phantom Fest are not complaining out of just something to do. They were really unhappy with the product that they paid hard-earned money to go to. And you can really make a change in this. And next time you go past a celebrity that you just really, really need to meet, that, you know, you just can't live without their signature and their $40, just think about the gas that you can put in your car. Or put that away for your kid's college education. You know, you don't have to meet anybody.
No,
that's what the fans need to understand.
That $40 is an insult and a slap in the face to every fan, because it was bad enough when it was 20. It's these scumbag guest reps that get in the guest's ears and say, well, you know, you can get 40. Just do it and see what happens. I saw that at a couple cons. As a matter of fact, God rest his soul, Jim Kelly, even at Wasteland, Ken wants the autographs kept around 20. It's only fair, okay? But no, Jim Kelly had to go 30.
Right.
You know what? He had a great weekend. You know what Ken told him? I'm glad you had a great weekend, because I'll never have you back. You didn't do what I asked you to do. I asked you to do a simple thing. You would have still made out anyway, and you couldn't do it. You had to be greedy and get an extra 10.
Right.
So
I mean, I go back to, and people that have listened to me prior know that I always go back to Sid.
Yeah.
Sid, $10 your item. And he has a line at every fucking convention that he goes to. He makes it up in volume, and he makes the fans happy. What else do you need?
Yeah, and Sid's there for the fans. Sid appreciates his fans. You know, how many times have you gone to one of these things? I mean, I got pissed off at somebody. I can't remember who the hell it was because I ripped up the picture after I left. The fucker wouldn't even look at me when he signed it.
Oh, yeah. I can give you one right off the top of my head. Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
It was at the last Horror Find last year, the last one that they'll ever do. There was nobody there. There was nobody in line. It was me and Drew. And Malcolm was a complete asshole. He barely could look up. The picture that he took, you know, it was free. I mean, his autograph was $30. The picture was free at the table, but it was like he didn't even want to be here. Be there. Don't go to the fucking show. Don't.
Exactly. You know, I go back way longer than you do, you know, to the early days when this thing first started. It was around 1990 with Chiller Theater and stuff like that. And then it wasn't an overloaded guess. It was only a few, but they genuinely appreciated being rediscovered. You know, and here's the thing. One of my mentors and Ken's mentors and a mentor to, you know, Something Weird Video was David Friedman. Mm-hmm. And Dave Friedman was a Carney guy. But you know what his motto was? Always leave something behind so they always want you to come back. What the fuck did you do this weekend? You left scorched earth behind. You crapped on the very people who fucking pay your bills. And you think they're going to forget about it? I'll give you a free ticket for the next show. Who wants to go to your next show? You proved you can't fucking run a show. What more do you have to prove? You're a fucking idiot. And it's funny, you're a borderline thug. You got a track record of failure. You also got a bunch of, you know, there's a bunch of shit people have put out about this guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a borderline fucking criminal is what it is.
Definitely. And, you know, the issues that we see in this board are some of the same issues that I read 2 or 3 years ago. Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. So what do you think? What makes anybody think that's going to take a free ticket that it's going to change next year?
It's not going to change. It'll be worse because these guys are little schemers behind the scenes. You know what it is? There are certain people, and I'm one of them. And I, you know, you got to make money. You run a convention, yes, you should turn a profit. But you shouldn't fuck the people who come in the door either, you know? That's not the way to do business.
Right. I mean, there's a point of making money, and then there's a point of making a gross profit. You know, a close friend of ours always says he'd rather have customers than find a sucker.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I think
that's the way Dave Friedman goes, it's the old Carney guy in me. I just can't wait to take a sucker, but I always let him win one. It's the old shell game. Always let him win one. They'll come back.
Yeah. That's all you got to do. You know, show just an ounce of respect, maybe lose a dollar here or there, and you'll get them forever.
Exactly. Some people follow that business model. Others could give a shit less, and it's always the same bullshit. It'll be better next time. 9 fucking times, it ain't been better, pal.
Yeah,
you know, it ain't going to be better.
The thing with me is I'm looking at this, you know, there are autograph shows and there are conventions. And, you know, quite honestly, I don't care which one you want to go to. Doesn't matter to me. I know which one I prefer. But I don't see why an autograph show can't be run well.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem, you know, and I'm not talking about San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con. I'm not talking about these huge, gigantic, you know, fucking monsters of shows. I'm talking about in the horror convention scene where these autograph shows can't be well run. It doesn't make any sense. You know, the convention shows, the true, you know, give you all the entertainment throughout the weekend and make you want to stay. They're well run. You know, they have issues. They have their quirks, whatever. But they learn from them and they move on and they don't have Facebook pages being created and FBI involved and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Run your autograph show. That's great. If you have people willing to pay those prices, awesome. Just fucking run it well.
Yeah.
I mean that's the last.
How hard is it for somebody to map out a floor plan of what's what and put signs up, for God's sake? They didn't even do that. No. This one poor girl, I guess she got down there with her stuff and she didn't have a fucking spot she paid for, or they couldn't tell her where the spot was. I mean, every show that I've ever worked, the promoter had a floor plan. It was all mapped out. This is where you're supposed to be. This is your table. All the tables had the vendors' names on them and stuff. Down there, they were closing events without even telling people. There was supposedly an anime section that nobody even knew about.
Right. I got an email from a guy that ran a booth for a game. I guess they had a gaming area. Yeah. And this was a game that's similar to Dungeons and Dragons, he was saying, a card-based role-playing game, something. He was promised all types of stuff, and none of it was delivered at all. And he said that they were put in a place that was so bad that people had no idea that they were there. You know, and if we want to talk about, what Fright Night Film Fest used to be, Fandom Fest is completely taken over, and they had, I believe, the horror guests in the Galt House, which was like 2 or 3 blocks away from the main convention.
Right.
And that's where they put a lot of the quote unquote horror vendors. So a lot of them saw almost zero foot traffic. So did they know up front that they weren't going to be in the main convention area?
No, as far as I know, no. Like I said, there's no floor plan handed out.
Right.
This was sort of like everybody send in your money and we'll figure it out later, and then they couldn't figure it out later. Another thing is, too, you ought to just, if you can't get volunteers, pay somebody. Pay somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. Because it's obvious you don't,
That's one thing that Horrifying, before its epic implosion, I guess you would say, did right. They didn't take volunteers. They had paid staff.
Yeah.
So these people, they ran for 14 years. So these people knew what the fuck was going on. You could ask anybody, and you get the same answer from a different person each time, and they knew what was going on to the minute. And that's the way it should be.
I know. I used to have, when you're talking at its peak, when I was still there, Chiller would draw 10,000 people on a weekend. So I had, I had to sit all my guys down. I had a couple lieutenants that, this is your area. You run the guys here. You run the guys there. Make sure they get fed. Make sure they eat. Make sure they get breaks. Make sure they get to see the show. That was the whole deal. And it worked.
Right.
Till I left. I don't know what happened after I left, but it worked.
Yeah. So, and I mean, it all just needs a plan. And it just seems that these big autograph shows don't want to have a plan. You take from what concerts deal with. They deal with a ton of people. Or just spend some money and go to San Diego Comic-Con and see how they fucking run something. You know what I mean? Steal something. Yeah.
This guy spends his off-con things going to other conventions to check them out. I'm sure he'll be at Flashback next weekend.
Yeah, he's usually there, so I'm sure he'll have a lot to say on the floor to a certain guest promoter again.
Who the hell knows? Paper. Maybe you won't even go there. It just gets ridiculous because the whole guest rep thing. Their names aren't out on the front, so they're plausible deniabilities there. But the bottom line is win, lose, or draw. These fuckers are sitting there Sunday night waiting for their 10% from their fucking clients. They don't give a shit,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
It's a score, and and another thing too is a lot of promoters are marks. They're fan marks. I mean, granted, I've been lucky. I met a lot of people over the 20-some-odd years I've been doing this, but I never marked out for anybody. I never, groveled and begged in front of them and, was in awe of them because they're just fucking people like we are.
That's right. That's right. But, even when I started this, there were a few that I, the fanboy in me wanted to freak out, but I wouldn't let it happen. I was there to do a job. I was there to interview and represent East Coast Horror Group in a professional manner. So, you have to do that, and now it's to the point where, I know some of these quote-unquote celebrities, and you're right, they're just people. And some of them have bigger flaws than you and I combined.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The skeletons in the closet are deep.
I got, even the last Horror Realm, it's Ed was going to, do the whole Q&A with George the Animal Steel, but I said, you need any help? And he goes, well, maybe. Why? And I says, because George the Animal Steel is the guy that got me into wrestling. That's why he's the reason I became a fan.
Right.
So, between the two of us, we got a great, great interview out of him.
Yeah, definitely.
But, when I do something like that, I want to do the best I possibly can. I do my homework and everything on this. I mean, I got Sika up at Wasteland. I got to do my homework on her too, because, she wasn't a New York girl. So, as much as I sold a lot of her stuff, seen a lot of her stuff floating around, I never had any interaction with her. So I got to do my homework on that. But that's what I got to do. That's the job. So,
yeah, that's, we just had, at Days of the Dead, we had the largest Thing panel in history. JC and I, Drew was unable to make it, but JC and I, we worked for a solid month on that panel.
Yeah.
We could have gone another 2 or 3 hours. Was it exciting to see all those guys together for the first time in, TK Carter, that was the first time that guy had seen any of them since they shot the fucking movie. It was great, but you can't mark out. You can't fucking be fanboy when you're there to do a job, and a promoter's there to do a job.
Yeah, and like unfortunately, a lot of promoters become marks.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, you know, and I do not begrudge anybody making money as a promoter. Why do it if you're not going to make any money?
Yeah.
But just do it correctly. You know, do it correctly, do it by the books, and have customers rather than in suckers that you sucker in, you know, year after year. It just doesn't make any sense because, again, you're supposed to be a fan just like we are.
True. And, you know, I applaud these guys this time because finally it was about time that, you know, it took a woman to do it, but finally, you know, somebody stood up and bit back at these people. It's long overdue because how long can you keep on getting fucked and not say nothing, you know?
I completely agree. It's long fucking overdue for the treatment, and honestly, I hope people start standing up. If not standing up in a fashion like these folks are from Fandom Fest, with their wallets and not paying these high autograph prices. You know, I really, it's about time that we, the fans, take back what's ours, which is the genre, and remind the celebrities and the promoters what really matters. And that's us. Without us, you don't have anything.
Yeah, and some of these celebrities don't really want to be charging what they're being told to charge. I mean, I heard a story about Lance Henriksen out for a smoke break. He said, yeah, I'll sign anything you want. Just don't tell my manager about it. Because I don't like this deal either. I heard Stan Lee was signing outside too.
I've heard countless stories of Angus Scrimm signing for free. A lower celebrity, Doug Bradley, will sign for free if you see him around. You know, a lot of them don't like the idea of it.
A lot of them don't want to sit there at the table and take money. And another guy, Herschel Gordon Lewis, he gets a fee, but he'll sit there and sign all day for nothing. So he's worth paying the fee.
Right.
Plus, the guy's a legend. You know?
Right. No, I completely agree.
And a shrewd businessman at that. But yeah. You know, and a lot of the reason you don't see some of these big names, they would do cons, but they don't want to sit there and have to take money for their autographs. They want to be paid to be there, which I can understand.
Right.
And I've seen a few guys do that because it's worth their while to pay a guy like Angus Scrimm, you know, a couple grand to sit there and sign for nothing, because it's good, you know, it's good karma. It's good for the fans. You know, at least they get something for nothing, you know?
Right. Even though they're paying to get in and all that kind of stuff, it feels like you're getting something for nothing. You know, the Holliston crew, Adam Green, the guy that created Hatchet and Holliston, he was there at Days of the Dead earlier this month. He was signing for free. And someone on one of the forums had to keep reminding everybody that he wasn't signing for free, that FearNet paid his way in. Yeah. Regardless of who paid his way in, he was signing for free.
Exactly.
You didn't have to pull out your money and give it to him. So ergo, you're signing for free. So that person that kept reminding everybody that FearNet was paying for it, just let the fans have a moment, for fuck's sake.
I know. Well, there's always, you know what it is? Unfortunately, the internet has enabled a bunch of fucking cowards to come out from behind their keyboards and do exactly what that guy Robert Warren did and a couple other guys did without fear of retaliation.
Right.
So that's the little thing.
Yeah. It always seems to be me and you that are the ones that will stand up.
Yeah.
And talk against this bullshit. And that leads me into, you know, we are going to have a live show next week. We had some bullshit with our network. We're on our own feed now. We're going to have a call-in show, and five people stood up and are going to be on our show that are from the Fandom Fest was a fiasco page. We got three VIPs and two vendors that are going to call in talk about their experiences. So if you think people like Brad Thacker or myself or Pete are just whiny bastards that have nothing better to do than talk about other conventions, tune into my show from Dust Till Con Radio and listen from the horse's mouth.
When's that going to air?
That's going to be live August 8th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Go to eastcoasthorrorgroup.com, click on live shows, and it'll be right there. Five people are going to tell you from the business side, the vendor side, how they were fucked, and then three VIPs. One was a Shatner VIP, one was a Stan Lee VIP, and then one was just a regular VIP. And all of them were not given what they paid for. So if you think it's just us, you're finally going to get to hear from five courageous people that had the guts to stand up and talk about how they were fucked over.
Yeah, and Brad was actually going to be on with us tonight, but actually he got a paying gig at the last minute, so he had to take it, which I can't blame him. But, you know, I'm not, you know, my big bitch is I'm not whining and bitching. The whole thing is I'm a fucking fan of this shit. And I've been doing this since 1990. I've seen the good, and I've seen the bad, and I've seen the ugly, and I'm seeing a lot of the ugly now. And I'm just trying to make people aware of this stuff. You want to go and get fucked over for your hard-earned money? Be my guest. I'm just telling you where it's coming from. And a lot of people are agreeing with me for a change. You know, we're not out to fucking shit on people, but, you know, when I see somebody blatantly fucking the fans of the genre that I hold dear to my heart, I'm going to fucking say something, whether anybody wants to hear it or not. And I said, when everybody tells me they don't want to hear my shit anymore, I disappear. I've done it before. I got off the air for a fucking month because I got tired of the fucking bullshit with the O'Rear situation, being physically threatened that people are going to come to my fucking house and beat me up because I voiced my opinion on the internet. Well, let me tell you something. Do yourself that big favor and drive your ass up here, because you won't be fucking driving home if you fuck with me. You don't fuck with me, my property, or my home, and you don't fuck with my people. It's that simple. And I'm tired of people fuck with my genre because, you know, a lot of people came out of the woodwork over the last few years and claimed they're experts. And I never claimed I'm an expert at anything. The fans were the ones that claimed I'm an expert. So respect their opinions, because I never fucking put myself over in any way, shape, or form. All right, well, boys and girls, we wrap this up. And if, you know, like I said, tune in to Mike's show, because you'll hear it from the horse's mouths. And again, I want to applaud the young lady who set up FanFest Louisville 2013 was a fiasco. You showed a lot of courage, more balls than some of the fanboys, but you know something? You got the job done, and a lot of the other ladies that hopped on board got it done. At least the fans, for once, spoke out about an injustice that was leveled upon them and a con job that was leveled upon them. And like I said, we'll keep you up to date on this stuff. And again, Mike, thanks for coming on. And anytime. Until next week, stay sick, and we'll see you then.
Short and sweet with 42nd Street Pete. Only on Jackalope Radio.